I think we've gotten back on track now. It's only taken a couple hours.
Wendy, I hope so. For people who didn't hear the regular show, a lot of mistakes.
Technical difficulties.
No one's blaming anybody. There were just some glitches in the system, and we'll never speak of it again. I think it's best to just look forward and not backward. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
You know what I saw last night that is... I'll tell you why I find this fascinating. It's the third time I've watched it. It's the new version of To Tell the Truth.
Oh.
Have you seen this at all?
No.
To Tell the Truth was a classic game show. I think it started in the 1950s. I'm almost positive. It may have even started on radio. I can't remember if that's one that started on radio or not. There were a couple, like Truth or Consequences was a big hit on the radio, so they moved it to television. I think What's My Line started on radio, and they moved it to television.
I loved that.
I think To Tell the Truth is the same, I think, but I could be wrong. Anyway, in the new version... They've got the guy who's the dad on Blackish, Anthony Andrews. Is that his name?
I don't know, but I love him. I should know his name.
I always want to say Anthony Edwards, but I know it's not.
No, he's from ER.
That's the guy from ER. Anthony Andrews, right? Why is that not sounding right to me?
That's not him.
It's not
Anthony
him?
Anthony Andrews is an English actor who played Lord Sebastian.
Yeah, that's
Flight.
Not him at all. It's just a guy who just goes by Anthony, Wendy. He does not use his last name. Anthony Anderson. Jasmine to the rescue. Anthony Anderson.
I got to know his name because I am a newfound Blackish fan. I didn't watch it originally, but
it's very good.
Watching the reruns. I love it.
Very good. It really is. And you know what they're doing to Blackish? They're young Sheldoning it.
Yes. What are they calling it?
Youngish?
Spinoffish?
Spinoffish. I think they call it Youngish.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the mom on Blackish. She is getting...
Tracy Ellis Ross,
the daughter of Diana Ross. She is getting a prequel show, much like they did with Young Sheldon. And I'm pitching to WGN a show called Young Wendy that I'm hoping that they buy from me, which would be you when you're younger. Still being adorable, you know.
When I was younger, pre-10, I looked very much like Tatum O'Neill.
Oh, that's a good... I will throw that in my pitch.
All right.
I will toss that in my pitch.
Is it mixed-ish?
Oh, is that what it is?
I
thought they called it youngish, but it could be mixed-ish.
Yeah.
It could be.
And Rainbow Bo is the narrator.
Oh.
So, yeah, mixed-ish.
Oh. All right. Here's the reason I bring this up. I watched it for the third time yesterday. I don't watch it all the way through. I just catch 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I see one or two people come out and try to convince the crowd of what their profession is or isn't.
Oh, isn't that What's My Line?
It's almost identical to What's My Line. It's very, very similar to What's My Line. So you have three people, and they all stand up, and they all say, I am a lion tamer. And then the next guy, I'm a lion tamer.
I like Lyman.
Lyman. Sprite.
Yeah.
So then,
do people ask him questions?
The celebrities, your four celebrities they ask them questions like, what's the closest to death you ever came with a lion? And then they tell their story and they determine who's the liar or who's not the liar. I bring it up though because it has the novelty of Anthony Anderson's mom is on every week for no reason at all other than she's his mom. She sits off to the side and whenever they argue about something, no, that guy's the lion. No, that guy. He'll go, Mom, and she'll go, well, I know he's lying because, and then she says something, and then that's it. His mom is just sitting there.
Oh, that's funny.
It's hysterical.
Is he the host?
Yeah.
I can't figure out
if they pitched that idea to him, if they said, look, Anthony, regardless of what your answer is, we want you to host the show, but we were also thinking, as long as you're coming in, could your mom come also and be one of the contestants? And she doesn't sit with the other four celebrities. She just sits off to the side. And whenever anyone on the show wants her opinion on something, they go, Mama, what do you think? And then she just says something.
I love that.
It's hysterical. I don't know who came up with that, but that's so funny. Yesterday they did a thing. One of the people whose profession you had to guess was a hypnotist. So it's three people. I'm a hypnotist. So one of them says, I can hypnotize somebody in 3 seconds. And nobody believes that. You can't hypnotize somebody in 3 seconds. So once they determine that that is actually the hypnotist, they say, go hypnotize Mama. So they,
the they woman, call her Mama?
Mama, they refer to her as. So she holds her hand and she holds her, she's got one hand on her hand and she's like clutching her shoulder and she just yells at her, sleep, like that. And then she falls asleep and she says, every time Anthony says the word truth, you will yell out bingo. You won't know why. You'll just yell out bingo. So then for the rest of the show, every time he said you're watching To Tell the Truth or is that the truth or whatever, they cut to Mama just screaming bingo out for no reason. It's hysterical.
It really, if she truly was hypnotized, that happened to me when I worked with Buzz Kilman. I've also been hypnotized here.
Oh, right.
But I remember that. When this hypnotist came in, it was a promotion for some movie, and he hypnotized me on the air, and he said, when Buzz says this particular, or he says, when I say a particular word, you will say the phrase, come see, blah, 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 whatever mm-hmm. the movie was. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there's no way. And the only thing I can tell you is that when he said his trigger word, I had to stop, like, I could stop myself, but I wanted to say it. It was really bizarre. Like,
what do you think's behind that?
I think I was hypnotized. But it's you a power said you of could, suggestion.
But you said you could have stopped it if you wanted to. You just gave into it.
Well,
how
no,
come?
Because it was just such a feel of, like, I said, you know, I gotta be honest with you. I want to say blah, 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 blah. I mean, it just worked. I don't know how else to describe it.
When I was in high school, a hypnotist came to our school to an assembly. Every once in a while, in addition to us rooting on the Bengals, we hope the Bengals win. Whee! They would bring in some
specialty item.
Yeah, right, to entertain. So they brought in a hypnotist.
Which is, was this a Catholic school? Because that's,
no,
oh, okay,
public
I'm sorry.
School.
I'm sorry,
no,
yes.
Public school.
Because that'd be weird. I don't think they'd have them.
Right, because it might go along, it might go against
right.
the beliefs of the
false
religion.
Idol.
It would be a false idol. Yep. So this guy picks out a woman, a girl, we were in high school, at random in the audience. He asks who wants to be hypnotized, and everybody raises their hand. And he picks this girl, Meg, out that I knew fairly well. And he had her do some crazy things, right? Not insanely crazy, but for a little while she was walking around like Mick Jagger.
Right,
for
I was
going to
say walk like a chicken, so that's what I was thinking.
It was that.
The rooster.
He goes, you're at a Rolling Stones concert and Mick Jagger can't perform, so they need you to perform. So then they
was she good?
Brown Sugar, and she's like,
was she
yeah,
strutting?
Yeah. So there was, but and we went nuts. We just went insane. And then I talked to her afterwards, and I go, do you remember any of it? And she goes, yeah, I remember all of it. I go, so you knew you were, and she goes, yeah. He said to me, hey, the show will be great. All you need, you know, because during the hypnosis process, he keeps whispering suggestions to her, but we don't know what. So he says, hey, for the next 10 minutes, just do what I ask. People will love you. You'll be famous and stuff like that. And I go, oh, that's horrible. Don't do that. Now, that said, forever, I believe these guys are just, you know, that's what they do, is they convince somebody, hey, play along. What have you got to lose, right? When I did stand-up, I worked with this guy named Max Maven, who everybody said, this,
great
if you
name.
Like, wait till you see this guy. I watched him every single night. We worked at the Funny Bone in Naperville. I watched him every single night. He did slightly different things every night. There's no way in the world he convinced all those people to just play along, because he would always start out with a dozen people on stage, and then during the interview process, he would say to some people, you can sit down, because he said, I just know if I pick 10 or 12 people, a quarter of them just aren't going to be right for this. So he just goes, I appreciate you doing this, but please sit down. But then the people that were still up there, like at some point, he said, there's a snowstorm. He goes, we're inside, but all of a sudden it's 20 degrees outside and there's a snowstorm. And you would see the people, like, he'd talk to them and they'd be shivering and shaking and stuff like that. Every night he did stuff like that. I have no idea how he pulled that off. There's no way he convinced 8 or 10 people a night. Do me a favor. The show's better if you play along. Just play along. I can't figure it out.
Well, he hypnotized people.
He had to have, right?
Yeah. I mean, when this guy told me to say the tagline, I remember saying, I am trying to resist, but I can't help but say, go see. And it just, honest to God,
yeah.
The urge was just, I had to do it. And the best thing I remember, and I got hypnotized here too on the air when we were at the other studio. The only thing I can tell you is after, like, you come to afterwards where it's like, okay, I'm going to snap my fingers and you're not hypnotized anymore.
Yeah.
I was the most relaxed I have ever felt in my life. Those
what
two
do you think's behind that?
I don't know. I just think, I really can't describe it. I just felt like I had absolutely no stress. There was no tension in my shoulders. I just felt like I just had a really awesome, restful, rejuvenating sleep.
This guy Max told me, I said, when do you know that the person is wrong? He said, I have certain questions, and just in the way they answered it. And he said, for instance, I know I can't hypnotize you. And I said, how do you know that?
Well, you would resist.
He said, you're too analytical. He goes, there are certain people who go up there trying to figure out the mechanics of it. And he goes, and you're that guy. He goes, I would know within a second. He, in his words, you're a waste of my time.
And you ruin a lot of magic tricks for me.
I only do that if you, like in the past, we've had magicians, and you say, now you don't know how that was done, do you? And I go, of course I do. And then if you want to know, I tell you. But if you don't want to know, I don't tell you.
Right. You don't ruin it intentionally.
Right. Right.
But I mean, you are, and it's weird because for you being so creative and so funny, you are also very analytical.
Yeah, I know.
You analyze your analyzations. I thought I was analytical, and I do analyze a lot of stuff. You're way different.
I don't know that we've had a magician on in all the years we've worked together that I haven't been able to figure out.
Oh, that you haven't been able to figure out.
I get them almost immediately. And actually, when I watch tricks on television, I guess I shouldn't say tricks, illusions. Doug Henning just poked me in the back of the head.
It's
an illusion. Yes, Mr. Henning, it is an illusion. The only one I ever saw that I couldn't figure out, I can't remember the magician's name, but he did this trick with an egg where he kept pulling silks out of the egg. I'm watching this on TV. So he's holding up an egg and he shows there's a guy and a girl there. Hey, examine the egg. And then he like pulls different colored silk out of the egg. And I'm like, well, there's a hole in the egg and he's pulling the silk.
Dear Liza.
So he says at the end of this, he goes, it's against magician code to show you how a trick like this is done, but I'm going to show you. And then he goes, I keep my thumb over this part of the egg and you can see this hole. And he goes, so it's very easy for me to pull the silks out of the hole. He goes, but then what I do is if people say I know there's a hole, I just peel it off. And then the hole is like a sticker that he peels off and he flicks it away and it's a real egg. And I'm like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. How'd you do that? That's pretty good.
You should watch that show hosted by something Hannigan, you know, one time at band camp, that redheaded girl.
I know
Allison
that one.
Hannigan, is that her name?
With Penn and Teller,
yeah,
right? I watched that.
Do you figure all that stuff out?
Almost always. There's been a couple on there I haven't been able to figure out.
Really?
Yeah. Almost always.
I have no idea.
But you'd prefer to not know.
Yeah, I guess.
Right?
Because, like, with little puzzles we were talking about with Bertrand, I love that kind of stuff. And word puzzles, I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't, I guess I don't want to know.
I almost wish I was more that way, but I for some reason I can't be.
We can blindfold you and then describe to you what is going on. You'll still figure it out.
That would be better.
You'll still figure it out.
That would be much better. But I always feel bad because I see the wonder. We'll have a magician on, and I see your eyes just full of wonder, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to tell you how. But then you'll say to me, "See, you don't know how that guy just did that."
And then you go, "Yes, I do."
Yeah, he did this. It was easy.
I am blown away. I mean, you do see the wonderment in my eyes.
Yeah,
I love it. Ellen DeGeneres has her mom in the audience of the show all the time, and David Letterman's mom was the highlight around Thanksgiving, but it wasn't just
both
sitting
true.
There off camera
the way
ready
it's
to
done
go.
Is so ingenious, and I don't know the backstory. I know this sounds crazy, but I would love to know, like, who pitched that, who went, all right, hear me out on this idea, because it's a strange idea, but Anthony, your mom's still with us, right? Yeah, why? Could you bring her in every week, and we'll just have her sit over there, and if anybody needs her in any way, shape, or form, she can just answer. I just think that's such a funny thing. But, right, Ellen DeGeneres' mom and David I loved David Letterman's mom.
Yeah, I did, too.
Betty, was that her name?
Yes.
I think most moms back then name were Betty. I think, actually, am I wrong? Is Ellen's mom also named Betty? Betty Letterman, I think. That's weird.
Doris Hancock's is her name.
Oh, that's Ellen's mom. Doris?
No, Doris Hancock's is Anthony Anderson's mom.
Oh, right.
Mama Doris.
Doris, right. Everybody calls her Mama.
Dad, I wish our moms were still around because our moms were pretty funny.
We could just keep our moms in the back of the studio, and if we have a reference question, Mom, what was that guy? Remember that guy who used to come by? Oh, Frank? Yeah, Frank. Thanks, Mom.
My mom would just scold me the whole time. As you know,
She used to do that quite a bit.
Whenever we have
her on the air, she would scold you.
She was like a Santa's helper and helped with Mrs. Claus and talked to the little kids. And she was so nice to the kids. Yes. And then I would say something and she'd be very mean.
Yeah, I don't get that. All right, we'll take a little break. We'll get you some news. I don't know who's in for Kim today. I'm not sure. Is it Ryan? I think it might be Ryan Burrow.
Maybe Don Kleppen.
Ryan Burrow. I'm just getting word it's Ryan Burrow. All right, so Ryan will give you the news, and then there's more show. Before we introduce Ryan with the news, can I just tell you a very funny moment? We were talking about how on To Tell the Truth, the host of the show, Anthony Anderson, his mom, they just call her Mama on the show. It's his real-life mom. She just sits there, not with the other panelists, but off on her own. She's got a very comfortable chair, and just during the show, everybody will reference her. They'll just go, Mama, I don't know, what do you think? And then she just throws something out there. So they had a magician on yesterday, and Anthony says, Mama, did you like magic when we were growing up? And she goes, I sure did. I made your father disappear when you were 7. Now, that was probably written for her, but just the way she said it was just so funny. I give her the benefit of the doubt.
She was invited to the White House, and she turned down a meeting with President Obama years ago because she didn't want to miss her bingo game. She's funny.
That's why they had her say bingo maybe yesterday, because I'm like, why did they choose that? She's got a bingo history to her. Yeah, she's very funny. I'd be shocked if she doesn't get her own game show out of this.
Well, she had some show on VH1.
Really?
Yeah. Let me look into this and find out some more stuff.
I didn't know that. Was it Behind the Music?
No, it was like
with Kurt Loder?
Pop-up video?
With Kurt Loder.
With Kurt Loder's mother.
In May of 2016, he was picked to host Dead Mama. A special VH1 aired on Mother's Day.
Dead Mama?
Yeah, while on the red carpet, Anderson said that he had been raising himself for 37 years because his mother would often leave him alone so she could go play bingo. Wow. And then he's like, you know, I'm into bingo, baby. I made him learn how to cook, clean, wash dishes, pay bills, everything. And then she blew off President Obama because she was addicted to bingo and she had a bingo game. All right, so she didn't have a show, but she's going to.
She should have her own show. All right, it's news time right now. Here with the news, Ryan Burrow. Forgive me for being naive, but I am naive. I'm very naive. Don't they
have... Do you want Ryan to hold you?
Would you hold me for this, Ryan? It would make me feel so much more comfortable.
Break it in, bud.
Isn't there equipment by which they could put it in... You know how they're
sonar?
Always... Yeah, how they're using it for the Loch Ness Monster, to find the Loch Ness Monster.
They already found the Loch Ness Monster, but they can't find the alligator.
They've got to have something that, like, it swims around the lake and it finds what you're looking for. They have to.
You know what else finds it? Dynamite.
Yeah, I guess dynamite. Yeah, make a lot of noise.
Just all right, come on.
Not eventually. Near the alligator, Wendy, but far away to scare it to make it come out of the lake.
Yeah, we're trying to scare it. And if it's there, you know, then there it is.
This thing is super scared, and there's a guy coming after him in a canoe trying to get him. I mean, if I was the alligator, I'd be like, oh, no, I don't think so. I know it's not supposed to be in there, and it was probably someone's pet. I think that's what the consensus. But, I mean, this thing...
Will that person ever come forward, or do you think? Or are they they're in too much trouble?
I don't know if they're in trouble, but how embarrassed would you be when, like, the whole city has stopped because of this alligator?
Do you think that person could just, like, give a whistle and call the name and the alligator will come?
Like, what are the odds that person is Jussie Smollett? Do you think there's even a small chance it could be Jussie Smollett?
Distraction.
Right. No one's talking about me anymore.
That would be genius if he came forward and said, gotta be honest with you, that's my alligator.
I have had a horrible year, ladies and gentlemen.
Everything I have done in Chicago has just
not a single thing right.
I got this alligator as a gift from two brothers.
Right.
I just feel sorry for this poor little thing. And when Alligator Bob was talking to John Williams because of intern Jay getting the interview that everybody's been dying to get.
Interview of the century. I don't know how he did it.
They were saying if this alligator isn't found soon, he's probably not going to survive.
Yeah, we're one polar vortex away from a gator sickle.
Yeah.
I just want this little thing found and taken care of.
They would bring it, obviously, they'd bring it to a local zoo, wouldn't they?
No, they'd bring it to your house. No,
I don't want any alligators in my house, Wendy.
It's not going to a zoo. They're gonna take
wildlife.
Vet's going to take a look at it. It's going to be dealt with safely, is what they said, but they're not going to exterminate
it. And then brought to a more alligator-friendly environment?
Well, I have to tell you that Zao Island or whatever in Valparaiso, they've got like 33 gators down there.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't know
it's
that.
It's like a mini golf course. They've got like a family fun area and stuff. Yeah.
Oh.
Nothing says fun like a family farm like that. I'm serious. I would love it. I just feel sorry for this little guy. And, I mean, I guess you say the lagoon is pretty big, but...
It is big. Have you seen it? It's really big.
But it's huge.
All right. I know. How deep is it? I can't be the only one thinking. Isn't there some netting you can put in there so you can, you know, cordon off some of the lagoon and...
Gator Bob pulled a shopping cart out of there, out of the
pond. That's not going to help.
Does White Sox Park have any extra netting from doing the foul lines?
They've extended the netting from home plate all the way to Humboldt Park.
Are you making fun of the netting thing? Because
no.
I think it's a good idea.
No, we're pro netting. Ryan and I both, we dedicated money to the netting.
You did not.
Yes, we did. $20 each.
Are you making fun that Guaranteed Rate is putting it up?
They're the first in Major League Baseball to do so. I applaud that.
I think
That's
it should
good.
Become a requirement and other parks should follow suit.
I think we should do it here in the studio with guests.
You're patronizing me.
I am, but it's not the first time.
I can't wait to see what the sight lines. Going back to that, though, I am interested to see what the sight lines look like. Because, you know, it's one thing to look directly through a net.
Yes.
It's another thing when you're looking down an angle.
Yes.
And so I'm interested to see. I have no doubt they can pull it off, and obviously they believe they can. But if you're sitting in one of those pockets on the third or first base side and you're
might
looking
be a difficult,
to home,
right.
Yeah, I want to know how that looks. And everyone says, the best seats in the house are behind the net. Yeah, but you're looking directly through the net there. You're not looking at an angle.
The angle's not working against you.
Yeah.
How's that seat going to be when your kid gets hit? Or you get hit because, and you're paying attention, but it comes so fast so far.
Right.
Or far fast. I don't know which would be first.
But are you going to be able to see the game?
Yes. No, it's not like a plywood's being put up.
No, I know, but I know that like when I go to my son's Little League games, the worst place to be is along the fence line.
Right. Right.
The parents either go directly behind home plate where they can see their kids through, or they go completely on the opposite side of the look, I don't know what the solution is. I don't want people getting hit. I've had a family member who was hit before, not direct not close family, but you know, who was hit at Wrigley Field with a pitch one time or with a batted ball. I mean, I know that the need is there. I'm just trying to think optically how that's gonna work.
Did you ever see footage? You know how if there's a rain delay, they show you the 1943 All-Star Game?
Yes.
And you see, and everyone's dressed up, and they're all wearing top hats and stuff like that. There's no protection anywhere.
No.
And I mean, even like exactly behind home plate, there is absolutely no protection
they
anywhere.
They used to put the camera guys up there, like right by the batter's box.
Yes.
You
there
guys.
Used to be photographers there. That's insane.
Baseball players were a lot more puny then.
Yeah.
Seriously.
They're out of shape.
No, this,
they were drinking smoke in the dugout.
This needed to be done. They're using maple bats now.
Yeah.
Now, we're not talking one or two pitchers that are hitting 100 miles an hour now. Now they're 3 to 4 per every. All of these ballparks have pulled themselves in.
Yeah.
All the seats are closer.
Yeah.
Wrigley Field doesn't even have the bullpens on the sides anymore because they pulled everything. I think
they
maybe.
Don't?
No, they're now in the bleachers, so everyone's even closer. No, I mean, the exit velocity is 106 miles an hour off
way
the bat.
Way faster and harder.
It was like, if everyone wasn't on their phone, you know what? 106 miles an hour, even if you're looking right at it.
Right.
And how are you going to stay engaged 9 innings?
Right.
Okay, you just completely flip-flopped from before wanting netting. Wondering how you're going to see it
equal
that
equal opportunity.
One.
Yeah, I want to know if this is going to be like fishing line, like if it's like really, really thin.
Right.
What's the behind this or with the scout seats at Guaranteed Rate? Because you see it when you get there and you're kind of like, oh, dude, there's nothing there. But
you only notice it for a few minutes.
Yeah.
2 or 3 minutes.
Once again, you're looking directly through it there.
Right.
I'm talking about if you're on an angle now. Now you're on an angle.
But it's
so
see-through. Why wouldn't you be able to see through it even at an angle?
Don't you think, though, that during a baseball game, even though you would think in your head, you go, I'm going to watch the pitcher and the catcher and then, of course, react to wherever the ball goes. But people don't really.
I don't.
I don't think anyone does.
I'm looking where the beer guy is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Everybody's looking around.
Flashing things on the scoreboard. Yeah. Right. They're telling you to look for hats and balls and hats.
Yeah.
Sausages are running around in a circle trying to beat each other.
I posted some stuff on Twitter about the girl that got hit in Houston.
Yeah.
And they said, you shouldn't have kids down that close to the field.
She wasn't that close.
Every kid has a right to be wherever they want.
I mean, well, and what do you blame the parents? Oh, I bet they were on their cell phones. No, they were holding a 2-year-old child.
Right.
What are they supposed to do when a ball is ripped off a bat at 106 miles an hour? How do you protect yourself then?
Do we know if she's okay?
I know she had some, I don't have the...
There was a skull fracture involved.
There was a skull fracture. I believe the last thing, I'm getting confused now with the boy who fell in Minnesota. But I believe she is back home with her family. It's going to take a while, it sounds like, to be back to...
Horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, she suffered some seizures as a result of that. Yeah.
That's horrible.
I mean, really, the thing that bothers me the most is other parents shaming those parents or someone who gets hit. You don't know till you're in that position, and keep your fingers crossed that it never happens to your kid.
Yep.
Because then you're going to be on that side of it going, I did nothing wrong, and it's just a fluke accident.
Right. Do you remember the controversy when Dusty Baker was managing the Cubs? And his son, Darren, who I think was 5 at the time, was he 5 years old? They made him a bat boy, and there were a couple instances where he almost got pegged either with a ball or a bat.
Was it with the Cubs, or was that when he was with the Giants? Was that during the World Series?
I thought it was with
the Cubs. Maybe it was with the Cubs. I feel like I remember him actually grabbing him at one point.
Yeah, to keep him out of the way of danger.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I mean, even you could have a bunch of 20-year-old bros sitting there with their mitts on, and I bet you someone would get nailed.
Oh, yeah. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous.
As long as they didn't get hurt, that would be funnier, though, to see.
Bros get hurt.
Yeah. As long as they didn't get hurt.
Some news about James Bond.
Oh.
Did you see who is going to play? Now, I'm gonna word this very carefully. I'm going to start out by telling you that right now these are only reports, and that the movie company themselves is not confirming this, but they have named a new 007. Did you see this?
I've heard about this.
Now, when I say 007, you immediately go, oh, a new James Bond. No. James Bond will somehow relinquish his license to kill. That's what 007 refers to. That's his license to kill. To a woman for the first time.
But she's not going to be James
Bond.
She
will not be James Bond.
Okay.
And the stories that I read are not being specific because everybody goes, well, does this mean there won't be a James Bond anymore if she's 007? They're not addressing that specifically. Because my guess is this is going to be, you know how Star Wars has these offshoot movies that are, they're kind of part of the universe, but they're not the direct storyline.
The little moneymakers?
Yes.
Okay. All
I'm shocked Bond hasn't done this before, the Bond.
Well.
Cub Broccoli.
Cubby Broccoli?
Well, yes. Was this part of the original series, though? The original book series? Ian Fleming, right?
Yeah. I don't know if this particular character, Lashana Lynch is the actress who will play the new 007. Do they give her name? I don't know if she is ever mentioned in James Bond stories or not. But in the past, there really hasn't been a character. I mean, there have been other running characters in James Bond movies, but not really one that could carry a whole franchise. So I think with her, they're hoping, here's what we'll do. We'll call her 007. We'll make a movie. If it does well, then we have a second course to run. We'll bring back a new James Bond, but she can do these side stories. But of course, everybody's very upset.
Yes. Well, if...
Because James Bond can't be African-American and can't be a woman, and they found an African-American woman, and everybody's going, well, this is not James Bond. But they're not saying it's James Bond.
I wonder what Trump would tweet about that.
But see, now I'm a woman, and this is going to get a lot of women mad at me. But I don't care who plays the character of James Bond, black, Asian. In my opinion, James Bond is a man and should be played by a man.
Yes.
A woman James Bond would be Jamie Bond then. I don't care if you do a spinoff or something, but to me, the character is a man.
Should be a guy.
That's my own personal opinion.
I think I agree. I'm almost positive I agree with you.
And I almost feel bad saying this because I know women can do anything a man can do, but this character, to play this character,
to
be authentic, I think it should be a guy.
There's always been a theory about the James Bond universe, which says that James Bond is just like a rented name. Like when you become 007, they give you that persona. You're the new James Bond. Okay. I mean, they've never verified that in any film, but there's a lot of James Bond fans who goes, that's how the James Bond universe works. You're James Bond for a while. When a younger guy comes along, he's the new 007, and that's James Bond. This is like a compromise, which I'm okay with. I hope this is a great movie. I don't know much about this actress playing. I read her credits, and I've not seen any of her work.
Lashana Lynch.
Yeah.
She's 31, set to be the first woman and first black actor to take over the 007 mantle from legendary spy James Bond.
She's best known for her work in the Captain Marvel movie that was out less than a year ago, the one with Brie Larson.
Oh, yeah.
She played a fighter pilot named Maria Rambo in that movie. I did not see that movie. And I've read other things that she's been in, and for some reason, I've not seen anything she's been in. But regardless of that, I'm anxious to see the movie. I like that they're not calling her Jamie Bond or Jane Bond.
She's getting his old code name.
007.
But Bond is still Bond, but he's being replaced as 007 by this stunning woman.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. As long as she is not James Bond.
Right. It also gives them a chance to use the secondary characters, you know, like M, the boss, and what's the guy's name? Is it
Q? So the universe is the same. The universe is still the same that they're living in.
Right. It doesn't say when the movie will come out. They also allude to the fact that, here's the part that I was getting to. According to the story, Daniel Craig will reprise his role as James Bond. However, in a pivotal scene, he'll be called back from retirement and introduced to Lynch, who will play the new 007. So this contradicts what they've said in the past about him. I don't know if you remember. This is a weird thing. When he made the last movie, when the movie was over, when they said, do you want to play James Bond anymore? He goes, oh, no. I'm way done. I'm finished with it. Then, you know, they didn't particularly like that he took that kind of a stance. They offered him a lot more money to come back, and he goes, I'm coming back, but I'm doing one more and that's it, no more. But now in this one, they said he'll come back in the new movie with her, but just to kind of toss it over to her. So
maybe hand over the baton.
Maybe he'll be in a scene or two just saying, I'm old, I'm tired, you're the new Bond, or 007 anyway.
Okay.
I'll see that, but I'm glad she's not...
Right.
She can have his number because it's being moved to someone else.
Right.
Because he's retiring. Did you ever think he'd retire?
I don't think they can't retire him. That the character James Bond can't retire because it's too much money for them. They never lose money.
But
they always make a ton of money.
He won't be 007 again because she's being 007.
Right. But if they call him 006 or something or 004, he should be 007.
But give her a different number.
Right. How many License to Kill are you allowed to issue?
I don't know.
I'm not sure what the answer to that is. I don't know.
0010.
In the story, just 010.
Single 010.
Yeah, I know.
Single
010.
Hi, single 010. That doesn't sound. It doesn't sound as dangerous. In the story, they talk about Idris Elba in several of the stories.
Hot.
It doesn't say that, Wendy, but yes, he is. And there's always anytime people go, well, when Craig sits out, who's the next guy? Idris Elba makes all kinds of sense. He'd be perfect as James Bond. But again, there's traditionalists who just go, I'm pretty sure James Bond is white, and Mr. Elba would not be the proper choice for James Bond. That's ridiculous.
I don't have a problem
with... Get the best guy for the job.
Yeah, but I have a problem with a woman being James Bond. I'm sorry. The character is not a woman.
Yep.
Sorry, I am a feminist. I'm not trying to get anybody mad at me.
What about a character that identifies as a man?
How about that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
All right.
There you go. So it could be.
How about Beanie Feldstein?
I love her. I think she'd make the best Bond. Beanie Bond.
Ryan, thank you for hanging
for
out.
Having me.
Appreciate it. We'll come back and we'll close things off next. Beanie Bond.
Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I like the sound of that.
All right, that would be all she wrote for today, Bill. It's time to go start to fresh tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll start fresh tomorrow. I know for people who listen during the regular show, I know it was riddled with all kinds of problems, a lot of technical problems.
So
it's all right. It's going to be fine.
I love live radio for that reason.
Yes, it's far more exciting.
And that happens on the stream. Usually things go wrong.
Not today.
Yeah.
We'll make up for that tomorrow.
No, we won't.
Got some surprises in
store. Don't make any promises for tomorrow. We can't keep.
Thanks to Renee Taylor.
She's a hoot.
She is, yes. That's the best way to describe Miss Taylor. She's hootish. She has hoot tendencies. Thanks to Eric Zorn, who can also pack some hoot. That guy's
hoot
got
nanny.
Some, yeah. And Renee Taylor's TV show, Wendy, The Nanny.
Oh, hoot.
So when they work
and
together,
nanny.
Yeah, they're a detective team. Eric Zorn and Renee Taylor, they're hoot and nanny. Wednesdays at 9. All right, thanks everybody for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Come back tomorrow, would you? Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.